Welcome and thanks for listening. Here at Oddcast, we are very grateful to live and record in the beautiful Pacific Northwest on the current ancestral and unceded territories of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish peoples. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Only Wizards in the Dungeon podcast and the Agency Archives, the Arcademy Arc. That's right, we're back with the wizards. One's getting made out with, and two are trying to figure out who actually is a royal family member. Welcome back, everyone. My name is Cav. I'm your game master. I'm also Carlos. That's my intern name. Let's introduce everyone first, and then I'll give my fact after everyone else. So, first of all, to my left, we have Will. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Gibbles. No, my name is. Oh my God, what is? I keep forgetting.
You're a horrible agent.
No. I made the name Gumbash Yellow, and then I keep forgetting that dumb word. Yes. It's so stupid. Anyway, and I'm playing today. I'm playing a character named Althenuan Mithandra. Why are you giving it to a cell person? Laura Lothi.
You chose that envelope.
Yeah, but like, I didn't know. And my fun fact is that my partner, so he started a new job like a month and a bit ago, and then he took one day off this Monday, and 2 hours later, he got a notice of termination.
What?
Oh, wow. I know. It was not a fun time. Later, like 2 days later, like, the boss was like, oh, sorry, misunderstanding. Like, I thought you were just like skipping days. I'm like, okay, even if he skipped one day, like, you know, he still had like days paid like leave, like, yeah, accumulated.
If he had paid leave,
manager told him he can do it and like everything is fine. And then, but like, she didn't know that. And it was just a shit show.
Wait,
like,
who didn't know that? This HR person?
It was the boss. It's like the...
Oh.
Yeah, she called bad micromanagement.
I know. No, it was just bad. It was just bad in general. And then she was like, before she figured it all out, they had like a meeting and she's like, yeah, like, you know, your attendance is poor. He's like, I missed one day. She's like, but it's not just attendance. It's other things too. He's like what? She's like, I don't have to tell you. Because there isn't, you know? Right. And then later, like, he's like, listen, my manager told me I could take it off. I have it. Like, I'm sorry for putting her under the bus right now, but I have a picture of our chat.
Yeah.
Where she tells me I can take it off. I can show it to you right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, no. So later she like looked into the situation and then, you know, now she's fine. And his manager no longer works in his team. So I don't know what happened to the manager.
Oh, that's still like gross.
It's like because one person took a day off. Like,
yeah. That's bad. Anyway. They're not going to keep anyone in the manager position if they're doing that.
Yeah. It's a fun fact. So,
you know. Okay. Well, there you go. Well, thank you for sharing that drama. Let's go to the one to your left again. Graham, welcome back. Please introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm playing as Agent Periwinkle, who is acting as Christopher Anhel, the goth freak. Mm-hmm. Yes. My fact for the day is I had a minor panic attack on my commute over because I thought I had lost my wedding ring. I did not.
Oh, I can breathe now. Thank you. My heart can calm.
Yeah. You told me that,
that's crazy. I would have been panicking.
Yeah. Was it during the last session? Like, did he talk about
last
session, I'm getting married.
He ties it all back.
Yeah. I lost my ring. Next session, we're getting divorced.
Yeah. Yeah, boy. Indeed.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Very good. Welcome back, Graham. And then we've got, of course, Grayson. Gray, please introduce yourself.
Yes, I'm Gray, and I play Agent Umber, and also performing as Slurps McGurps on this here mission. Mission 143. What was it?
It was the Arcademy.
The
Arcademy, yeah.
That's right. Thank you, Carlos. And my fun fact here. Oh, well, I was... yesterday, I canned jarred 150 jars of whole tomatoes. Yeah, and sauce.
150 tomatoes.
No. 150 jars, like full jars of tomatoes, canned tomatoes.
Why?
We did like some volume production for a few hours. It was a lot of fun. What? I had like four like giant stock pots going with like pillowcases full of tomatoes in them so that we can like peel the skins off, like Conca said.
Is this like a YouTuber thing? Like, what is this?
For? No, this is Carson. This is my partner, her family. Like, they do Family Tomato Day, but they haven't done it in a long time. So this was like ended since 2018. So it's been quite a few years, but
family
it was fun.
Tomato Day.
Yeah, they're Italian,
living tomatoes. Their ancestors' so dreams.
Are you preparing them like already into sauces, or are they now just canned tomatoes from which you could make sauces or other things?
A quarter of them, all we went basically filtered through all of them. We like covered the entire garage, and we took a quarter of them, all the ones that are blemished and that we don't like, you know, to can whole. We turned those into a sauce, so that we made a sauce. About a quarter of it was sauced, and then the other three quarters was canned whole tomatoes with like basil and salt, and that's it. But peeled, and yeah. Hmm. Takes a long time, and a lot of fingers, you know, a lot of wrinkly fingers.
I wonder if some people find wrinkly fingers hot. Like, you know, it's like, is it a kink or
Rule 34 exists.
You know, let's find out. Yeah.
I'm sure there's a horror movie with somebody just wrinkled all over their body. They're just like they've their entire wrinkly body's been sitting in a jacuzzi for like,
oh my
for like
God,
40
that's
days
great.
Straight, and they just that's like their thing. They just, you know, like
I'm gonna pull that.
I'm gonna rub all over you.
For some reason, I feel totally certain that horror movie is holiday themed. I don't know which holiday, but it's gonna be like,
yeah. Absolutely.
You know, Wrinkle Fingers Eve.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, honestly, it probably is Christmas. It's probably like Santa or like Jack Frost ends up in the hot tub for way too long.
Part of someone's ski vacation.
Yeah, and like comes back and haunts everyone.
Okay, wait, hold on.
That's actually a really cool idea. Okay, interesting.
One more thing, though. Grayson, yeah. What is this shirt? Like, what is this hoodie?
Somebody who drowned. It's like Hereditary, but somebody who drowned in a... In a hot tub. That'd be great.
There's a horror movie where a pool is the monster. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like the Night Swim or whatever. But what's up with your shirt? Can you explain this to me? Every time you come with a hoodie and it has like those random...
What does this one say?
It's like
the
non-dualism,
universe
right?
wanted to experience itself, so it created you. So you're like the universe. You're the...
I'm not the universe. You read it yourself.
Yeah.
I have another...
I don't get it. I'm stupid, I guess. I don't know.
I have a hat that I should have worn today that says, ask your brain.
I believe it's a philosophical position, right? Yeah. It's a philosophical position about kind of... I don't know the exact
He's
one.
He's looking
brain.
At you. You're like, you're taking like the I'm smart person I'm approach. Losing. I'm taking what the fuck is this approach?
I know it's a philosophical position around like existentialism or something, but
I think he just thinks he's the universe. Feeling. And I don't know if I agree with that.
No. The universe is bigger than you. You can't be the universe, but the universe is you because you are a part of it.
So you are the universe, bitch. I knew it.
Nah.
Fold it up. Get it.
Fold it up. Well, I guess I'll give
you. I appreciate everyone's explanation of my shirt. Thank
you. all different interpretations, yeah, all probably incorrect.
No, but I do have a hat that says Ask Your Brain, which is same brand, same online ceramics that makes this shirt. But it's a collaboration with the Renaissance Fair.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? The big one.
I want to go.
And that's what people say. It's like their motto because people are like, you know, because they're all into, you know, whatever they're doing. They're playing their parts and it's like very, you know, like... interpretive kind of like LARPing, and people will go up to you and ask like, "What are you?" As like a fairy or whatever. Like, what are you?
I wanna go
and
to
they go like,
"Ask fair.
You know, ask,
really
like
fun.
Don't break the you know what I mean? Like I am what I'm like I'm not
You're
a thing.
The
like I'm part
you?
Of
I'm
this
a fairy.
World.
What
like
are
don't
you? I'm universe.
You can piece it together. Like it's like almost an insult to ask like, "What are you?" You know, because it's like just I'm not a thing. I'm not anything. I just am. In this universe, I'm in this world.
Yeah,
right? this like LARPing world that we're doing.
Yeah,
you know.
Makes for some sense. Reason, that reminds me of this guy who used to teach yoga in a room he rented at my work, and like multiple times after he was gone, and I went in to clean out the room, he had left a piece of paper over top of the clock that just said, "Right now."
That's exactly what it's like. Yeah. What time is it? Ah, you cheeky.
You got me.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my fun fact for everyone here is that. We were talking a little bit about just different movies before this, and I wanted to highlight a movie that I don't know if it's good, but I found it fascinating as a premise because we were talking about horror movies before this, and it's Nope, which I watched recently, and I watched it, then we started watching Scream Queens because it was like we were trying to find different horror movies because you recommended
Queens.
It, and then
did you like it?
I'm so far enjoying it a lot. Oh, it's ridiculous. I love
it. It's so good.
But Nope was really interesting, and for anyone looking for a movie that's like. Okay, another, like, let's take a concept and make it very different than what you expected. It's actually pretty good. And I found out that Kiki Palmer is in that and is also in Scream Queens. So they're connected.
I fucking love Kiki Palmer.
They're in the same
and she's great.
Universe.
Yeah, yeah. But I will say on an unrelated tangent or connected tangent is that when I did watch Scream Queens, so far my favorite part is the moment where it's so my humor where... Ariana Grande sees the killer and the killer texts her and then she texts him back instead of talking to him like, oh, who are you? And then they have a conversation over text. They're right beside each other. And then the killer goes, I'm going to kill you now. And then instead of screaming, she goes, oh my God, what? Texting it. kicks him back, falls downwards. As she's like, he's trying to kill her. She goes to her phone and writes, why are you doing this? And sends him a text. And then like, eventually the guy pulls a knife out after she's been slashed. And she goes to like her Facebook page and she starts typing out a post saying like,
my spouse, I'm being killed
right now by the red devil guy. Someone help me, please. And then hits enter. But no, doesn't hit enter. Gets stabbed. Goes, oh, the status is there. And then in her last breath, she gets up and goes, oh, hits enter and then dies.
Wait, but
this
like
sounds fantastic.
There was a scene before that I also fucking love. It's the blood sacrifice, like the blood.
Oh yeah, yeah. They all do fucking blood sacrifice. That's just a printed out Norse pagan ritual that they found, and she doesn't know what it is. It's like this is a blood sacrifice.
She's like, it's a blood oath.
Just we a need generic to blood oath.
Because one of them, she wants to do a blood oath with token everyone who witnessed like a different murder, you know, so that they would not tell anyone about the murder. She's like, I printed out this blood oath, and then she started talking about like Odin, son of whatever, and then they're like, what is this? She's like, it's I found it on the internet. And then
I googled
like,
it.
Yeah, and then she's like, yeah, oh, let's all touch like bloody fingers. And this girl's like, oh, I have an STI. She's like, STI? What? You only get them if you're in Mexico.
She's like, so racist. What I will say that
in Mexico.
Yeah. After I researched this or I watched this show, I realized that every single Von Hott is just those women in the show.
Shit, so, number five.
They're all number five, but just Von Hott. And that I didn't realize I'd made a similar product. But there you go.
I didn't see Scream Queens as recommended reading. In preparation for this mission.
You shouldn't need it.
The agency really fucked up there.
Yeah.
They did. Make a note.
I'll make a note.
Because I would have stayed up all night and binged it.
So the conclusion is to figure out which of the Von Hotts is fake, we need to convince them to do a blood ritual with us and touch their bloody fingers together.
Yeah. Try that. I wish you luck.
We'll all stand in a mirror and say Bloody Mary five times, and whichever of them we can't see in the mirror.
That's right. Whichever one's transparent.
Yeah. For sure.
With that, I'll give a quick recap as we hop into the waiting room and the world pause. I think it's actually going to be world pause in this case because you're already in your mission. Agents who are listening for training purposes, please be advised. This recording covers the exploits of Agent Gumbaj Yellow, Agent Umber, and Agent Periwinkle, who are taking on agents in the D&D 5th edition setting of the Arcademy. Last time, after leaving an illegal bar via helicopter and injuring a woman, they then got back into...
Is there like a skip recap part that I can go on?
No, and then
they got back into a helicopter again and then took that helicopter to the boys' dorm to try and find a member of the Nerd Corps, one of the three major social groups who are at the apex of Arcademy society. They were looking for Lin Bo, an individual who had transferred five months ago, and had liked dogs, didn't like cats, and had a cat. And having successfully figured out that he did not seem to have a dorm at the boys' dorm room, flew the helicopter again to the Von Hot party, where they crashed it, killing the RA, Terry.
Skip the recap. You could just fast forward through all this.
Who became a ghost. And then they entered the Von Hott party. In the Von Hott party, they spoke as they split up a little bit. Two of them went and spoke to the Nerd Corps. Well, Slurps McGurps went to his, well, I guess his idealized end point for his social life here in the school, which was the Hot Wands. So far, agents in this have been doing a great job of acting as their characters. So please, if you're listening for training purposes, keep this in mind. This is what the agency expects of everyone. And please remember to listen carefully to the exploits of Agent Periwinkle, who's so far done just a really stellar job.
Well, are you going to go around the table and talk about all of our various accomplishments?
And Gumbagiello has done good, and so has
some other people.
Agent Ember, yes, has done good.
Were there notes from the agency that came back that were just about Periwinkle, or were there ones that for all of us? You can be honest.
I think you all get individualized notes.
Right. What are mine say?
Yours is one page. Okay. And it says.
Is that good?
Yeah. Good. Good. Like no complaints.
No notes is what somebody says when you've done a good job, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No notes.
Well,
successful.
Not if somebody else is getting compliments and gold stars.
Yeah. Yeah. I could give you a word count.
Will it make me cry?
I don't know. I'll skip past. Let's just get into the world that we're here in.
I have a question about the world paws.
Oh yes, of course. Yeah. What about world paws? Questions you have?
Are they cat paws?
I can check the files, but probably not because I'm just pausing existence right now.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted to see its foot beans.
Oh, I'm sorry. We'll make a request for a cat. Maybe for you in the future, Agent Periwinkle.
Are we seriously commending his performance right now in this mission?
I mean, I can only look at the files in front of me. So far, you've all done a good job, but Periwinkle has done some good work.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Anyways, after
I should talk more about animal feet, and maybe I'll get a.
Yeah. Maybe.
I'll get a gold star one day.
After speaking to the Nerdcore, you discovered that there was a fake, and that was Linbo, using the spell Reject Thoughts and forcing them to alter their narrative. You were able to break the enchantment via making them fail a wisdom saving throw, a setting-specific mechanic that seems to rule people's ability to handle emotional or mental stress. And then you proceeded to do the same thing with a Russian bear tamer who didn't like bears, named Roski Molotovi. You realize that they seemingly cracked into black crystalline keys, and you now have two of those. But the last group of people you had to go to was the royals upstairs. You saw that Abby was there watching the group, and you then also saw Mysterion and a few other different royals members. While trying to deduce who the fake royal was, Mysterion made a scene about Slurp spilling a drink on them so they could take them away for a wizard duel, in quotations. And Alfenwyn Mithandriel Lorelothi spoke to her cousin, who was not
a brat,
excited.
And not the brat summer kind.
Yeah, who wasn't excited to see them, but seemingly is willing to assist if you can prove that the Von Hotts are evil. Agents have done a good job here, so I guess we'll hop back in as soon as you're ready. Any questions, agents, before we get back into your agent avatars?
Are there any directions that I can take?
Oh, now you're interested in improving your work and like work performance.
I've always been interested. I've just been massively held back by by my partner.
If you complete all your extra objectives in your mission statements, then yeah, you'll probably get further commendation. Yeah, make sure that you've completed all ancillary bonus objectives, and that'd be great.
Right, right.
I'm actually struggling with mine.
Rookie.
And with that in mind, I will unpause the world.
So yeah, you're back in with the royals. Let's quickly go to the situation with Slurps and Mysterion.
The situation.
Yeah. Mysterion has currently forced you up against a wall a little bit and has started making out with you. Does Slurps reciprocate, or do you just like get surprised and don't know what to do?
Mysterium. This is a huge surprise. I'm just saying, maybe is this really the right time?
Because you called a wizard duel and someone could enter the door right now, and you see the door click and coming through the door, you see Sloot, the plasmoid singer, who just starts coming in and dancing, and goes, Oh, there's people in here. There was supposed to be a wizard duel? I was gonna sing my cover.
Yes, there's a wizard duel that's occurring. Yeah, very soon.
Right now, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, I'll start singing. Doing plasmoid singing, so it's a little bubbly and wet, just sort of in the in the corner.
Wet.
And a few other people start to come in to see what's going on. And Mr. Aaron goes, no, I.
Why don't we pick this up later? Is that all right with you?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, but stay safe because I think there's a lot of weird stuff going on here in this place.
Okay. Do an insight check.
So 7.
Okay.
So I roll a 2.
He goes, okay, yeah, that's fine. And he walks out of the room. And then Sloot goes,
Who's doing the thing? Who's the wizard duel?
Well, somebody's supposed to be fighting me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. One of the Nerdcore. We'll get one of them. Tries to cast a message spell. Let's see if it gets altered. So can you roll me a d20, please? Sure. Right now, alteration is back at 2 because we will have to do some alterations. Actually, we'll quickly do that after this.
19.
Okay, so it doesn't go off. Cast a message spell. And then very quickly, someone running up the stairs from the Nerdcore. And that is Rudy Bloggart runs up the stairs and goes, Wizard Duel? Wizard Duel? Wizard Duel? Curses allowed? Curses are allowed.
Pokemon.
Well, it's a wizard duel, but there's actually... We need 5 participants.
5?
Yeah, we've never done it before.
Why?
Why? Because it's so cool.
It's obvious. It's a 5 against 1?
It's a 5... No, it's a 5v all. It's a free-for-all.
It's a free-for-all.
Wizard duel on the quad.
On the quad. Wizard duel on the quad, and only one survives.
Okay. Yeah.
So get the best.
Okay. They start collecting people. So I'll say that it will take like 10 minutes for that to happen.
While
back with
is,
you yeah. guys. Yeah. What are you doing?
So they're royals. We need to expose that one of them is.
Yeah.
So I know exactly what to do in this situation.
And the royals here for everyone listening are, just as a reminder, Althenwyn's cousin, Prince Oscar Richardson Helquist II, Princess Cyana Divakar, Prince Grampton Framptonshire von Rufer Shempton Frabble, and Rod Wolf.
So listen, I know that royals hate one thing more than anything. It's a concoction, but to create that concoction, I need to take like 10 calcium magnesium pills and then go to the toilet. So I will just be chugging calcium magnesium pills while drinking a lot of water, okay?
Okay.
And then I also need grapefruit and a lot of grapefruit, okay? So it will take me some time.
Okay, so you want to go to the bathroom with pills and grapefruit?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have to go.
Definitely a college party.
Okay, so what'll happen is you will go downstairs as you see a crowd of people starting to form outside on the quad.
Me just holding grapefruits and casting
you go to
pills.
Like a teleportation, a magic circle, and you request from the staff like grapefruit, and they give you a grapefruit.
Yeah.
Then you request... what you request magnesium pills?
Calcium magnesium
pills.
Calcium magnesium.
You get a note back saying, "Do you mean drugs?"
No, I mean calcium magnesium.
You get a note back saying, "Why?"
I'm lacking vitamins.
Okay, you get calcium and magnesium pills, but you also get an enema just because they don't know. Maybe that'll help. The staff is confused. They're like, what are we supposed to give this person? We don't know.
You know what? The enema might be useful. Okay.
And then you
You look at me when you said that?
And then you see the crowd of people getting it running outside. Abby is with the fake version of Clive and knows that you're not Clive. So it's just looking at you and keeping an eye on you as the rest of the royals kind of hear Wizard Duel. Abby goes, oh, actually, wait, no, we could totally, like, I have this fun new drug. Clive, can you go get us, like, there's, like, magic mushrooms. I saved him for the party.
Clive is the butler, right?
No, Clive is one of the Havon Hots.
Okay,
you know where they are, right?
Where did you hide them?
You don't know where they are? I put them there when you were there.
Well, maybe I wasn't paying attention.
Clive, it's okay. They're in the kitchen, in the drug cabinet.
Okay, I'll go have a look.
Great, thank you. Don't worry, guys. We could totally hang out here and just, like, enjoy the mushrooms. And if you want, I can even just, like, have a little... Like, we can see it from a very fun thing. And she pulls out a little crystal drone and activates it, and it flies over. And it's like an eye. Like, we can see through it. So everyone just touch it, and they all sort of touch it. And then they can now see through the eye if they want to. It's basically a type of arcane eye spell.
Carlos, would they...
Would the Fonhauts not want to have... Is it Royals or Fonhauts?
Yeah, the Royals.
I'm sorry, the Royals. Would the Royals not want a representative at this five-way duel to show their supremacy?
I mean, one of you could suggest it. Right now, only person here is the fake Clive, because Elfenwyn went downstairs.
Slurps comes out after Mysterion walks away. Mysterion just walks past the Royals and just leaves, just goes downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you see that the Royals aren't really moving to it, but other people are starting to move outside, so you could suggest it to them.
Well... Royal curmudgeons. All right, that's what you call yourselves. Am I getting it right?
Elfenwyn's cousin goes, no.
What do you call yourself? The royal?
The royals.
Munchkins?
You're adding adjectives. The royals.
Royal what?
Just the royals.
Okay, that doesn't make any sense.
If your friend was here,
Well, the royals. The royals are underrepresented right now. At the five-way duel that's happening outside for supremacy.
I guess you could send
somebody. If you don't have somebody there, how the hell are you going to maintain the supremacy? Royals. You can't be the royals without having won a royal five-way duel.
To do some drugs and watch the 1v1v1v1 duel.
They need a royal champion, though, don't you think?
We'd like to see the royals in a...
You see that one royal gets up, and this is Prince Oscar Richardson Helkfist II, which is the Minotaur. He goes up and goes, I'm bored. I've had enough marijuana to... make a horse fall asleep, and I
am a half horse.
I'm not feeling it. Yeah, I'm very bovine, at least in relation. And I'm done with. I want to see someone get their face pounded in, and maybe I'll participate. So you know what? Yes, you can watch it from up here, but I'm not feeling this. What is this shit? You see, he pulls out like a bunch of just like I guess what would be grass, some grassy like leaves he's been chewing on, and he gets up and starts going down the stairs. And Abby goes. Fine, one of you can go, but just like everyone else here, like we can just watch it on the eye. So it will be great. And like it's one person out of this crowd that you don't have to worry about. And then I will quickly...
Not bad.
Yeah, once you kind of have this scenario going on, let's actually quickly break. Let us roll for altered spells. So let's go.
Yeah.
Someone roll for your altered spell, and then I'll let you... Again, if it exists, I'll give you the name, and if it doesn't, you'll make your own.
So we just roll a D...
A D... 10, and if you roll a 10, it changes a cantrip.
I rolled a 7.
Okay, rolled a 7.
I rolled a 7.
Rolled a 7.
I rolled a 3.
Rolled a 3. So 2 7th level spells, and then 1 3rd level spell. Let's start with Will.
Yeah, so there's a spell. It's called Crown of Stars.
And I believe that you altered Crown of Stars to Crown of Bars,
but
that was because you didn't have a change. You
No, definitely no Crown of... I actually don't know what that spell... Like, I never looked at there. There is Rick Piss. Piss
well.
But not the crown.
Okay,
not
I can give you a spell for that. Crown of Bars. Crown of Stars changes to Crown of Bars if you choose that spell. And then what is Anhel going to choose?
Sorry, the only one I have left that isn't already altered is Force Cage.
Mm-hmm. That one does not have a spell version.
So much the worse for everyone, because the only thing I can think of is Force Skin.
Okay. So, I mean, if you're okay with this version of it, this is the most direct kind of idea I have for this. This is going to be a very, very powerful, like, physical alteration spell. If we're coming up with it ourselves, you get to decide, you get to figure out kind of what it does. Whereas if it's one of these, you have to find out by casting it. So, Foreskin will be a very powerful physical alteration spell that will allow you to physically change your appearance. And force your skin to appear to look like someone else's. So it is going to physically actually alter your external features to look like another person. It is essentially an undetectable...
Or another penis.
You can change your penis with this too. You can make your penis look like anyone's penis, but you can also make any other part of your body look like another person because it's a 7th level spell. So you basically have like an undetectable, instead of it being an illusion, which can be detected via magic, this one will last for the actual amount of time that Force Cage lasts for.
Which is 1 hour.
Which is 1 hour. So you can be a person that is like indecipherable from another person for an hour via physical interaction. You'd only be able to be discovered if there was a thing that turned off the spell or stopped the spell from...
I have a follow-up question then. What the hell does Crown of Bars do?
I mean, Would you like me to tell you, or would you like to find out by casting it?
I actually would like to find out now, because it might be part of, like, it might affect my plan.
Sure, I'll tell you, because I think it's fun. Crown of Bars, 7th level spell. 7 floating metal bars appear and orbit your head until the spell ends. You can use a bonus action to send one of the bars streaking towards one creature or object within 120 feet of you. When you do so, make a ranged spell attack. On a hit, the target takes 4d12 bludgeoning damage. Whether you hit or miss, the metal bar is expended and clatters loudly to the floor. The spell ends early if you expend the last bar. If you have 4 or more bars remaining, they clang loudly together whenever you move and interrupt your vision, giving you disadvantage on perception checks and stealth checks. And at higher levels, you can cast it and get more bars.
Oh, I thought you meant bars like drinking. No. You know, I was like, Crown of Bars. This is like a beer pong type of thing. But okay, that's pretty physical cool too.
This is like a bar crawling thing. You get crowned the king of bars.
I should have renamed it into Crown of Mars, and it sounds like a Martian, you know.
Next time. And then level 3, what do you want to alter?
I'm thinking it's between slow and blink. I'm thinking I'll do blink.
There is a blink.
Okay.
Blink alters to stink.
Okay, it's better than mine. Mine was gonna be Abe Link.
Because we're having fun, I feel like I'll reveal these ones when you.
No, like Abe Lincoln.
Oh, Abe Lincoln.
Oh my god. All right,
stinks better. Stinks way better. Because I don't want to be sitting there going 4 score and 7 years ago. Blah, 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 blah,
just give a speech.
And then just like inspire people.
Yeah,
that unity. Would be good. Although maybe that would work.
So I will tell you what this does, just because I feel like it's more fun. I don't think we did this with the altars before, but I think it's more fun. We're getting into the culmination. So Stink, you create a cloud of invisible vitriolic stench in a 20-foot radius sphere. The fog spreads around corners. It lasts for the duration or until strong wind disperses the fog, ending the spell. When a creature enters the spell area for the first time on a turn or starts its turn there, that creature must make a constitution saving throw. On a failure, they are poisoned, cannot attempt to remove the condition with a constitution saving throw until they leave the affected area. The stench moves 10 feet away from you at the start of each of your turns, rolling along the surface of the ground. The vapors, being heavier than air, sink to the lowest level of the land, even pouring down openings.
That's fantastic for clearing a room.
Great for clearing a room.
Could I continue with my...
Yes, you can continue.
With genius plans.
So what are you doing now that you have pills and enema?
I was drinking.
Get to the bottom of this.
I was drinking a lot, right? And then I would like pee somewhere into like...
There's a bathroom downstairs and a bathroom upstairs.
But I need like a potion, like an empty flask, you know?
You can request that from the circle, magic circle.
I'm sure I can grab like a cup from like a...
Yeah, there's
party.
Also a few like...
Yeah, I'll just grab like a clean cup or something.
Okay, you grab a cup.
Yeah, I'm going to pee into it. And then I'm going to add some grapefruit juice as well into it.
Okay.
The thing is, just for the listeners... Grapefruit smell, okay? The thing is, grapefruits have this chemical called terpenes, okay? And when terpenes interact with altered pH of urine due to calcium magnesium, right? Which they lower urinary magnesium accretion and calcium...
What?
No, listen.
For the listeners and
lower
pretty much
urinary
for all
magnesium
laymen
excretion
know.
Increases urinary calcium oxalate and calcium phosphate supersaturation. Okay. This mixed with terpenes creates like a really nasty, stinky smell. Okay.
Okay.
And I know that royals hate really nasty, stinky smells. Okay. That are gross. So I'm gonna mix that solution.
You're making a stink bomb.
Yeah. Yep. It's like a stink spray. Okay. Because I'm gonna spray it onto them.
Yeah.
So then I'm gonna use the enema to like suck this thing in. Okay.
And then I'm gonna like a turkey base or like a turkey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my god.
And then I'm gonna.
I feel like I'm watching like Bill Nye the Science Guy.
You walk up the stairs.
Yeah,
you
walk up the stairs.
Don't forget to do an upper decker while you're at it.
And I'll try to squirt it specifically onto their dress, like, or their clothes, you know, one by one. Because I know that only specifically royals know how horrible this stain is and how it will last for weeks and weeks and you can't remove it, even with like really expensive like solution. And
got it.
I'm sure the clone will not know. So,
you get up, you start walking. I assume you put it on. There's basically 3 people here you can target in this moment. Your cousin, Prince Grampton Framptonshire von Ruder Shempton Frabble, or Rodwolf.
What about the other two?
Specifically, Prince Oscar Richardson Helkfist has gone downstairs to the fight.
That's true.
And oh, and Princess, sorry, Princess Sayana Divekar is also here.
So I wanna like spray it, like squirt it onto the Red Wolf first.
Red Wolf first. Yeah. So you like walk over, trying to be subtle. You have to do a sleight of hand.
Oh, I'm not gonna be subtle. I'm just gonna squirt it.
You walk over, point an enema at the wolf.
I want to know exactly what happened and who did it,
and then spray it all over the wolf.
Yeah.
The wolf freaks out because it's way more powerful than the others. Goes, he just starts like running around the room, and you just hear him in a human voice, but it sounds like an over again, like someone speaking over his bark, his regular dog voice, what's it called?
Like a voice or what? Like a dub.
And just going, what is this? What is this? This smells like trash. Not good trash. Horrible trash. And just freaking out. Princess Sayana puts their hand to their mouth daintily and goes, oh, that's horrible. I have to freshen up, and goes to the bathroom on this level. Prince Grampton Frampton Shire von Ruffer Shimpton Frabble gets up and goes, that is horrid, horrid, sir. And takes his drink, which he had a cigar, and he's got a whiskey glass. Yeah. And he throws it in your face, just covers you in it.
What about my cousin?
And your cousin looks at you and just puts their hand in their head, in their face, like their face in their hand, and just goes, What the fucking? Why do you do this? You are so bad at being a princess. And then
me like soaking whiskey.
In whiskey. And then the last person, you get like Prince Grampton goes to Rod Wolf and is like, I'm so sorry, good sir. I'm so sorry. Please have my favorite drink, Bombay Sapphire. Okay. And like pulls out a full bottle of Bombay Sapphire.
Wait, can I investigate him? Because like I feel like he would be a little more grossed out than this. Like I don't know. Can I investigate him?
Yeah, you can do. You do insight and
insight. Yeah. Okay.
Is everyone gagging? Are we gagging?
You can still be up there. So yeah, you smell it. It's awful.
You're up
there. It's awful.
18 plus not 8, so it's 26.
Okay, 26. I mean, he seems to be very actually concerned for Rod Wolf and trying to help him. The only thing he knows how to do to get rid of the stench is maybe combine it with a more powerful stench, which to him is alcohol.
It's alcohol.
So he just pulls out a Bombay Sapphire and gives him a little cup, but also pours it on his body a little bit.
Not a bad idea. Like vodka and stuff.
Yeah, okay, fine. I feel like he's legit.
Bombay Sapphire is a suspiciously mid-shelf gin for a royal.
And just kind of
missed the mark there.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, it was a good try, you know? Like,
gets up, girl. Looks at your cousin, and then I have your cousin's name, which I have to find out.
Oh.
I think it's in your mission statement if I can have that very briefly.
Prince Ethendril Athendari Lorelothi.
Yeah, Ethendril Athendari Lorelothi. So he goes, he gets up. Ethendril Lorelothi. What is this? I know this person is a part of your family. What are they doing? And they just go, actually, I disavow them. They are... utterly stupid.
No, I was trying to uncover the plot. What do you mean?
Goes over to you, whispers, Ethenwin, I know
the plot.
I want to believe you.
It's true. It's true.
I need a drink. And just goes, leaves, goes
you want
downstairs.
Some of this?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I won't go. And I'm not a fan of all the different weird drinks that Grampton has, or Prince Grampton has, and goes downstairs. So now there's only Prince Grampton, Framptonshire, von Ruffer, Shimpton, Frabble, and Rod Wolf here with you three.
Okay, wait, aren't you downstairs?
What? No.
No, he just sent everyone downstairs to start
fighting in that five-way duel. No. Somebody's going to die. They said that only one will survive.
Wait.
Somebody
so,
said
Rod Wolf, I've got to ask you. Abby, that's more surfer.
Abby's there too, as you go to Rod Wolf and goes, Clive, what are you doing? Leave them alone.
Well, I'm just like wondering he was saying, like, not even the good trash. And, like, what trash do you eat?
Which one's speaking to Clive?
Abby. And Abby looks at Clive and goes, kind of grabs your arm and actually starts to try and pull you further away.
I don't know who you are, but this isn't working. I know something's up and you should not be here. And I will call campus security. And I will.
Can I spray her face?
Oh, that smell. That smell is coming back. It's, yeah. I'm going to cast stink too.
You cast stink as well? So
there's another wave. What's coming from?
So roll a wild magic surge. It's currently, I think, 4 because it had got reset. Okay, you're fine. 6. It goes to 8. So stink gets cast. Please, everyone, make a constitution saving throw.
5.
18.
4.
So Althenwin survives because they've already been dealing with stinky things.
I'm affected by my own stink.
Yeah, it affects anyone in the area. So both of you feel...
Usually people like their own brand.
You get poisoned.
I like my own farts. I mean, like, don't you all?
Abby also would have gotten poisoned. Can you roll me a d20, please?
8.
Okay, yeah. So would have got poisoned, but something will be used instead. And then plugging their nose, they cast Dispel Magic. They get covered in this other stink, and they look at you, Althenwin. They go, oh, fuck, no. And they cast Ascending Spell. So roll a d20 again for Wild Magic Surge. Okay, we're fine. Yeah. It's now 16. And, oh, actually, sorry, theirs don't affect yours, so they cast Ascending.
So it's still it's on 8.
Still on 8. And you know they've sent probably a message to the other triplets because you just sprayed them in stink. What do you want to do in this moment? You probably have a round or two before they'll arrive. Actually, probably a round because it's not a huge space to run across. But you can speak now to Rod or the other one in this moment if you really want to do a desperate kind of get some info or maybe break whatever you think is going on.
Did we ever...
I do want to interrogate Rod about the eating garbage.
Yeah. You want to go up to Rod and just like ignore Abby and run forward and be like, what garbage do you like or something?
Oh, I kind of wanted to snark at Abby though, but that doesn't get us anywhere. Fair. Just like as on hell again. Oh, sweaty, you may know something's up, but if you don't know what's up, girl, I don't know what, but I'm going to go talk to this dog.
Okay.
Did we ever define what, when I changed my third level spell haste to chase, is that a...
It causes someone immediate like revulsion to sexual content for the duration of the spell. So they have to do a wisdom save, or they simply are like unable to act because of the revulsion they feel.
Mm, okay. And vampiric crotch, do we?
That one, you have to grapple someone, and then it will absorb life force via your crotch.
All right.
That's the one that's dangerous.
In tandem with some kind of magic pants.
Yeah, that did with psychic pants.
All right. Okay.
So you run over to Rod Wolf, and what do you say in this moment? We'll give all of you a chance to kind of interrogate, maybe get a chance to figure out if this is the right one.
I could triple up on stink.
Quickly, Rod Wolf, tell me, we have to rescue you from the smell. What is the good trash that you like eating?
Rod Wolf goes, entrails of deer. They're normally tasty.
Yeah.
And then does anyone else want to ask a question to try and determine who's who? You can speak to Rod Wolf or Prince Grampton.
What did you ask? Sorry, I missed that.
I asked what sort of trash he liked to eat because he was saying that the goop smelled like trash, but not good trash.
Yeah.
And he responded with deer entrails, which probably smell really bad, but aren't trash.
But they're not trash. They're someone's treasure.
They're awful.
I will ask something that only royals know, the hardcore royals. I'm going to be like, quick, who was on the cover of the 24th issue of the Royals Weekly?
Rod Wolf goes, I found out I was a prince less than a year ago. I don't know.
Okay, let's back it up. That bitch is our, less than a year ago. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Is your grandmother Julie Andrews?
You see, Grampton goes, why are you talking about my grandmother? And then Rod Wolf goes, no, they're a wolf.
Yeah, well, I'm not buying it. You say you became a royal a year ago. But your grandmother is not Julie Andrews.
Look, I was found in the wilderness by people looking for royalty. And as a part of some sweepstakes, I don't know. And then...
That is a sweepstakes for... What
are you doing?
How do I get into
that?
Sweepstakes for that?
I lived in the forest as a spirit of the great forest of the great forest. I was a spirit.
If I live in the forest, can I be a royal?
So did you become a wolf for the purpose of being a royal?
I thought forest was a socialist state. So what kind of royal?
Oh no, the forest is socialist. It's actually, that's why I'm no longer there. I can't be royalty if I'm in the forest.
Dang it!
Literally, okay. They don't have hierarchy beyond just like the hierarchy of predator and prey, which is a pretty.
I will cast that fucking new spell I have.
Okay. So you want to cast Reject Thoughts or
no Crown of Bars?
As you're speaking to Rod Wolf. And you're like interrogating the story. You try to cast Crown of Bars. Abby is there and will attempt to counterspell it, just trying to stop your spell.
Okay.
They have to roll, of course, a 17 or higher, because that's how it'll work with a higher level spell.
After this, can I cast a spell at the doorway?
Yes. They'll add their spell casting modifier, which is a plus 11.
Why is she so annoying? Why is Abby so annoying? Jesus Christ.
They got a 30, so they just you cast counter bars and boom, turn it off. And please roll a wild magic surge as well. They counterspell it.
For us, we have to?
Yeah, and you do have to roll one wild magic surge. Oh, it goes off. So roll MD100, and we'll alter spells after this.
22.
So as you cast that spell, the air charges with magic. Creatures have disadvantage on saving throws against the next spell you cast in the next minute that involves a saving throw, which is pretty good for you. Then roll your d20s to see what level spell gets altered.
You mean d10?
Yeah, d10, sorry.
A 5.
A 5.
5 as well.
7.
I'm just copying Will here.
So, Will, what 5th level spell do you want to try and... Or will
well,
you
the
alter?
Issue is there. Dawn has already changed, and there's Wall of Stone, mm-hmm. which is different from Piss Wall?
Yes.
Okay, Wall of Stone.
Very different than Piss Wall.
Wall of Crones.
Wall of Crones.
Like
okay.
Crohn's disease?
So what I would say is Wall of Crones is you will summon a
wall.
Already
stomach aches?
which is just a row in this case. You'll summon a wall of, it has to be elderly women, that just appear in a line. So it will follow the same rules of Wall of Stone, which I believe creates a certain like, of wall.
It's sinister old woman. So yeah. It's in folklore who may be characters as disagreeable, malicious, or sinister.
I'm yeah. Like, so they stare you
angry
down.
Fucking Eastern European grandmas.
Right. It's like people you yeah. don't want to, like if you're walking on their yard in their yeah. yard or something like that, they're like, get them out of there.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they're saying.
They're the reason humanity invented those little blue discs of glass with the eye on them.
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
You mean like the curse?
Just to ward them off. To ward yeah, them exactly. up.
Like the Middle Eastern like curse catchers or not curse catchers, they're like bad luck.
I can imagine like my future child's ball rolling onto their porch and she just punctures it out of spikes.
So it's normally 10 foot by 10 foot panels, but it's gonna be in this case 10 5-foot squares. So it's 10 women arranged in a inner line or wall, however you wish. And after they can't stand on each other because they're too old for this. But they will also yell obscenities at anyone in front of them, which I will say they will have to do a wisdom save or they will have a D4 reduced on their ability to make attack rolls.
Okay.
How that'll work. Okay, Wall of Crone is created. Any alterations, Graham, for your... Which one do you want to change?
Let's go with Control Winds.
Okay, Control Winds. It's 5th level, correct?
Yes.
Okay, I don't think I have one for that. I will just double check. I do not. How would you like to change it?
Control pins?
Yes. I will allow you to... now, Control Winds has a specific area, so let's just do this.
300-foot by 100-foot cube.
Yeah.
What's a cube?
So, how that will work is that within a... Actually, it's more than that. Within a 100-foot cube that you can see within range, you can choose, essentially, to control And that means sort of alter their position, placement, or how they're arranged. You can move them in that space. Any pins in that space. And that means any sharp object that is holding two things together is how we'll define pins. And that's a huge area.
When you say control.
I can't steal their bank accounts.
Yeah, there's no pin numbers.
No.
When you say control, you mean what kind of control? What's the bounds of controlling?
I would say that you can move them as if they are being controlled by a mage hand spell. So you could disconnect things, or you could place things in places, but you won't be able to create a swarm of them and control them.
Missiles. Oh. Okay.
Yeah, not like missiles in this case.
I was totally picturing using them to like 1d4 minus 3 piercing damage.
I will actually say...
a barrage of pins, all the pins.
You know what? I like that though. I think
all
what
the brooches,
I'll say is,
all the pins, all the everything.
Yeah, I'll say that you can once... So okay. With the spell active, one time you can use all the pins to do an attack, and it will be, let's just say, like you said, like depending on a rough estimate of pins, it'll be like one damage per pin, which can still be a lot.
But like
all the door
the important
pins.
Thing is, I can probably save. Make like a third of the people in the room's clothes fall off and their hairstyles go.
Yeah, all the bobby pins. That's all fair. The yeah.
Anything that's all holding the clothes, it together pins. That's sharp. Yeah, yeah, I'll say right. That's fair.
That's
okay.
Great.
And then what's your level spell again?
It was seven. Mm-hmm. Seven. I'm thinking Mordekainen's sword.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I do not have one for that.
My spell is Mourning Canine's Horde.
Mourning Canine's Horde.
Mourning Canine's Horde.
Okay.
Canine's Horde.
Okay.
I
know what it is.
I came up with it as plural. Plural canines.
Yeah, I know exactly what it is, canines. By the way.
Howling wolves.
I know exactly what this will be. Do you want to cast it in this moment?
Yeah.
It's up to you.
Oh, no.
Like,
as Abby
morning
uses counter spell,
horde.
This one moment you can cast a spell because Abby's used their counter spell.
He says canine, I keep thinking senile. Ken. Yeah.
You cast senile the spell. Wolves. You see suddenly in the space, whoosh, a flurry of magic. And then coming out,
something's happening.
Yeah, from like a wall, the wall melts away to show a cloudy, foggy cemetery.
Okay.
A group of dogs march in a sad funeral procession, carrying a casket, upon which a little statue of a dog, and on the casket it says "woof woof woof woof," and they're all howling. As they walk into the space, look around, don't know where what's happening, look confused, start talking. Rodwolf sees it.
Sorry for your loss.
Yeah. Abby's like, what the hell? There's so many dogs. Just like all over the space. And Rodwolf sees them and goes, what? No, that's, why can they can't speak. Why can I speak? Turns into a black key. And you see the, by seeing other dogs that are not himself, that are also.
Turned back to a dog.
He turns
or
into.
Or back to what he was.
What he was before. This key.
You said black key, but I heard chicken's a black key.
He turns into a chicken.
Actually, something I forgot is that they all actually were items in the house. So this one turns into a dog collar. And then the other person.
So by being issued, so the delusion breaks when he's confronted with the
other thing. So Lin Bo, when he cracked, became a can of beer.
He was just a can of beer.
Because it was all about partying.
Yeah.
The Russian
Ruski Molotovy was literally like a men's health like magazine they just had lying around somewhere.
Yeah.
And it had a man on it like with a bear. And then the final one, it's like Druids Monthly with like a bear.
Then
the other one was a dog collar they had hanging around that on it says Rodney. And so that goes off. Abby sees it happen, looks at all of you and says, oh, you're dead. And we'll go into initiative. As specifically.
Oh
I don't know where these dogs came from.
Yeah, there's a bunch of dogs.
I really have no idea.
And they're all. Now they follow. You can understand them for some reason because you cast the spell.
Freaking Harry Potter dog edition.
What are they saying?
Parcel tongue. And they're going, Where'd we go? Where's the grave? Do we have to dig a new one? Why is there wood everywhere? And then you hear one going, Maurice, I told you this would happen. This would turn you stupid animal. And the one goes, oh, shut up. My wife died. They're just having a whole drama.
At the funeral.
And you hear all of that where everyone else just hears,
you can just dig a new one here and do the funeral right here. Just
are
do
you
it.
In charge of the cemetery?
Well, your location's been moved, unfortunately.
Oh, shit. I guess
that cemetery filled up somehow.
I'm like...
Right during the proceeding. They took your spot.
The premium plan, Maurice. Oh, yeah,
but
shut
this
up.
Is a much nicer lot because it's inside of a house. It's basically a mausoleum.
Yeah, since I understand what he's saying,
yes.
I would be like, I'll like assume they're upset about the funeral, and I'll be like, Your funeral has been compromised by her. And I point at Abby.
And then a bunch of dogs turn and you hear one go, I'm going to go speak to the manager, Maurice. Oh, you always do this, Rebecca. And they're just constantly talking. They all start clambering at Abby. And Abby is, of course, now has a wall of dogs between them. So there is this sort of group of funeral dogs. They're all wearing black veils and
were
stuff.
Were you indoor or outdoor dogs? Or were you outdoor dogs? Were you kept outside?
We got to go on walkies very frequently.
But did you ever sleep outside alone?
No, of course, never.
Okay, well then this is where you'd be comfortable to be buried, inside the house. You're more comfortable inside.
That makes a lot of sense.
So Abby's upset at us because she's not in on the fact that...
Abby saw you turn this person back into a key. Now, that's where we go into initiative because even though there's dogs in front of them, this funeral party, they're creating a wall so she can't get through them easily. You are still within range and we'll have you roll initiative.
There's a wall of crones in here?
She countered my spell.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. What does everyone roll for initiative in this moment? An 8 for...
Actually 12.
I rolled a 13. Do I need to add anything to it?
Your dexterity modifier.
Plus 3. Okay, so 16.
And what did Slurps get?
14. Not everybody's in the room, correct? They're not.
Only Abby and you three.
Okay.
And Sir Grampton, Prince Grampton is there. But Prince Grampton goes, what was I doing? Why are there dogs here? Are we hunting them? And starts to go to see if he's got a weapon. But he doesn't know what the hell is happening. So again, sorry, numbers quickly.
How old is Sir Grampton?
He looks like he's in his 50s. he's way too old for this party. So top of the order is actually Graham as the dogs do this. And Abby says, oh, you're dead. And is going to
Periwinkle.
Start preparing to cast spells.
You got this. I believe in you. The agency certainly does.
Yeah. She has no counterspell right now because she already used it to counter the spell of Alfenwyn.
I'm going to try casting Blade of Soft Plaster.
Okay. Roll a wild magic surge. We're still at 2 now.
12, so you're good.
Okay, and then Blade of Soft Plaster, I will tell you what it does. Blade of Soft Plaster. You create a blade-shaped clump of soft plaster about 3 feet long in an unoccupied space within range. The blade lasts for the duration. When you cast this spell, you can make up to 2 melee spell attacks with the blade, each one against a creature, loose object, or structure within 5 feet of the blade. On a hit, the target takes 4d4 force damage and is covered in rapidly hardening plaster. When hit by the blade, a target must make a strength saving throw to resist the hardening plaster. On a failure, they are restrained. The creature can make a strength saving throw at the end of its turns to end the condition. So please roll an attack. You can make 2 melee spell attacks, which is just your spell attack modifier, which is your intelligence modifier plus your proficiency bonus.
So, I will bring it to bear, right over her, and it's 4d4, you said?
4d4, yes, if you hit.
So I rolled a 5 plus 11 is 16.
That will actually miss.
Damn. 17 plus 11 is 28.
That one will. So the first one swings at her, and you see her very expensive outfit flare up with runes to kind of deflect it. And then the second one, of course, hits and the runes are not able to keep it in place. So you deal the damage and I'll do a strength saving throw.
I rolled 7.
Okay. They got only an 18 on their strength save. Is that equal to your spell save DC or is it higher?
My spell save DC is 19.
Okay. So they will use a legendary resistance, their second one they've had to use. One was for stink and one was for this.
Darn.
To resist the spell, but they still take the 4d4 damage. So tell me how much that is.
7.
At the end of your turn, they will cast a spell using a legendary action. I mean, they may do this because they think they just don't like you and it's funny for them.
For them.
Yeah, they're going to cast this. So you see they seemingly know a little bit more about the random spells. And as they cast, they prepare a spell that is an altered spell and cast it. And they cast Dream of the Blue Hedgehog. You and up to 8 willing creatures, she chooses themselves, are infused with the power of the Blue Hedgehog, granting increased speed and an aura of crackling lightning. So a little blue hedgehog appears on their head. All creatures affected by the spell immediately increase their movement speed by 30 feet when running. All affected creatures gain an additional plus 2 AC, gain advantage on dexterity saving throws, and deal an additional 2d10 lightning damage on melee attacks while the spell is active. That part's less important. As an action, the creature affected by the spell can roll into a spinning blue ball. At the start of the creature's next turn, they charge forward up to 30 feet towards a creature object of their choice and make a melee spell attack. On a successful hit, the target takes 4d10 bludgeoning damage and 4d10 lightning damage. If targeting an item or construct, the bludgeoning damage is doubled. And the spinning blue ball attack can only be used once by each creature the spell affects. Now, they're not going to use the spinning blue ball feature. They just want the bonus AC and the extra speed. They go 60 feet, getting through the dogs, pick up the key, and get back across the wall of dogs. So now there's a wall of dogs between you and them, and they have the crystal black key. And with that, that's their legendary action. It goes to Slurps.
Okay. I think I'm gonna cast Snare near the doorway where people would come up.
Yeah.
And set a trap.
Yeah, there's only one exit out of here, so you place it and then roll your wild magic surge.
16, so I think it passes.
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, so now what is it now?
I think 8. It's 8. And then what else would you like to do?
I guess I'll traverse these dogs.
Go through quickly.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Pardon me. I'm sorry for your loss. My condolences.
And there's yelling, confused. Now,
maybe I'll talk to them, actually.
You can talk to them.
Now, I hate to be a bother, but there's one thing that, before the proceeding can continue, that there is a black crystal key that the deceased wanted to be buried with. That's what I was told. So if you could help me retrieve it, that would be very appreciated. Yeah.
This large pit bull comes over and looks at you and goes, "My wife always liked to retrieve things."
Yeah.
And then this small chihuahua that somehow is related, which is the grandma, comes over and goes, "Maurice is an idiot, but he's right. His wife would very much like to retrieve things." And then they all look at at Abby and they go, "Grr," and Abby goes, "What? No. Stupid. Stupid. You're not even teacups, except for that one. And she's ugly," points at the grandmother.
"Not even teacups." The grandma goes,
"Oh my God. Kill them, Maurice. Kill her." and now they will join on the fight in your turn. So on your turn, let's make them try and attempt to grab the key. They'll work collectively as a swarm of dogs.
It's a horde.
So they'll classify as a swarm. They'll roll. They only got a 6. I'll say they get a +5 as a horde of dogs trying to grab the key. Right. But it does mean that she's basically accosted by them. Like, it's difficult terrain, so she can't get out as easy. Terrific. She can move really fast, but it is restricting her movement. And then anything else you want to do? You're right beside her with the swarm of dogs that are all like...
Oh, I'm beside her?
Yeah, because you can move through them.
Can I make an attack on her?
Absolutely.
Let's do that. Oh, hold on. I can do my bonus action. I can do my blade song now.
Yeah, blade song.
Okay, I'll do blade song now then. And then I'll make an attack. 23.
Okay, that is enough. You see that they're in ruined armor that gives them a bonus AC.
Okay.
Is not able to block your attack.
I will do 9 piercing damage. Extra attack.
Okay, so you got an extra attack as well.
And it can be the same weapon?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. That is a 25.
That'll also hit.
7 piercing damage.
Great. So 7 goes off. End of your turn, she'll use... the legendary action.
Oh, and Song of Victory also adds a +4 damage to both of them.
Nice. So 8 total damage additional.
Yeah.
Nice. And then end of your turn, legendary action before their turn, before Athenwin's turn, they will simply pull out a dagger.
I thought that I'm last. No.
You are last, but this is the last legendary action. So pulls out a dagger.
Dastardly.
And tries to make an attack. Rolls an 18. Does that hit you? I know you have bonus AC with your songs as well, though.
I want to say... Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. What do I get? I get a... Okay, I think it's just a plus four.
Okay.
17. Okay, so 21.
You have 21 right now. So literally goes to stab you and you deflect it with your trident. Goes to Althenwin.
So I'm just like really unsure. What the hell does this spell starvation do?
Try.
It's really not worth it. Don't try it. Just in case. Just in case we all die of starvation.
No. Okay, what does wicker mean? The word wicker.
Wicker is any type of plant like fibrous materials that we're controlling. Not wood,
I'm just going to starvation her.
Okay, what level spells?
The Wicker Man. It's also Nicolas Cage.
It is a fifth level spell. By bees.
Okay, starvation.
Yeah.
You drain the calories from a creature, causing them to wither and starve. The target must make a constitution saving throw. I rolled.
I mean, they skinny as it is.
She got a 21.
Oh.
It takes 8d6 necrotic damage on a failed save, or half as much damage on a successful save. On a failed save, the target also gains one level of exhaustion. At the end of each of its turns, the target repeats the saving throw if it failed. It takes 4d6 necrotic damage on a failed save, and the spell ends on a successful one. The magical hunger can't be ended by eating food. If the damage from this spell kills a target, the target is turned into a desiccated pile of bones and skin.
Oh my God.
Is it worth less? Does it do less damage to them or more damage if they're already anorexic?
Probably more.
Yeah. But are they resistant to it or are they double starved?
Out of 4d6s, they roll 2 ones. So it's only 13.
Actually, you roll all of them and then you just half it. So it could be a higher number.
Listen to me.
You roll 86 and then I take half of that.
I rolled 88. I rolled 8 and it's 26. So divide by 2 is 13 still.
Okay, yeah, that's bad. Great. At the end of the turn, you see a little ghostly sort of what looks like orb that has a little healthcare symbol on it, like the little red cross. Mm-hmm. And it goes, Abby von Hott, you've been injured. Activating premium insurance. And you see that she regains 5 HP at the start of her turn.
Okay. Premium insurance. How do we get premium insurance?
Carlos goes,
I don't know. Be rich?
Wait, I didn't cast maddening snarkiness on Carlos.
Can't we?
Yeah. True. What happened?
Can't the agency expense it?
So unable to attack with ranged attacks because too many dogs and you're right beside her, she'll attack twice with her dagger towards Slurps. It's not the best option because you are, of course, harder to hit, but only gets a 17 and a 16.
No. You're going to have to hit her hull a lot harder than that.
And so as a result, she is going to use a bonus action and activating a crystal on her outfit, cracks it and throws it to the ground. And pushing back the dogs between you and her, she summons a big crystal construct that looks at you and is going to also make some attacks on you because it is there to defend her.
I was not antagonizing. I was just making an observation. You don't need to hit any harder than you already have. That's fine.
But she has to put it only on one side. So she is basically still has her hand open. She just can only put this between you and the... and then there's other people can get around to her. Again, this is in a huge room, so you're
all
within walking range.
What's up with the crowd that's supposedly...
They're all going outside, so like no one's...
Oh, they're not coming here?
The other Von Hotts may come here because, you know, they noticed you were doing something. This thing will make 2 fist attacks. It also only has a +7. 2 hits, 21 and a nat 20. So the first hit is 2d6 plus 4 and the second is 4d6 plus 4. Total of 33.
Okay. Yeah.
So literally Slurps.
That'll do it.
Punched. And I assume you fly backwards.
Whoa.
And you're just hit up against the wall. Closer to
That'll do it.
Yeah, you're kind of pushed a little bit closer to the wizard training area. Are you knocked unconscious?
No.
Okay, you're up.
Not yet.
You won't get pushed. You just get punched in the stomach.
33, you said?
Yeah, 33.
Yeah, I've got 6 HP. Oh, I can use a Song of Defense here.
Yeah, you can use Song of Defense. Do you want to reduce that damage?
Yeah.
Makes sense. Now, 33 damage means you'd have to burn at least a 6th level spell to get 30 of that reduced.
Yeah, I'm going to... I will do a 6th level spell slot.
Okay.
And then I'll take 3 damage.
There you go. Much better. So magic flares up. That's all that Abby can do. So that means that it goes back to the top of the order, and they will be here in the next round, the rest of the group, which is going to be Clive and Chrissy. So what will Anhel do?
Let's try casting a farm monster.
Okay. What level spell is that?
That is a level 4 spell.
Okay. And please roll a wild magic surge. It's currently at 8.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Oh, and I actually need to roll that con save one more time because I'm pretty sure that you had advantage. The people at disadvantage on the next spell you used because of your wild magic surge. So they had to use their last legendary resistance. Farm monster, level 5.
I rolled a 2, so that's the surge, eh?
That is the surge. So you also get a surge on top and goes back to 2. We'll deal with spells alterations after.
I'm really hoping I can domesticate this construct.
Farm monster. You target one creature within range. I will let you choose if there's a valid creature within range you want to target. It must be a beast-type creature, a plant-type creature, or a humanoid that looks like either of those types of creatures.
I mean, I'll bet you Abby looks like a beast right now.
I say that you could probably target the dogs, slurps.
With the crystal thing?
The crystal looks like a crystal construct, like a golem.
It's not a human? Oh, it's a golem. Okay.
So probably the dogs or slurps are your both options.
What?
Because you look like a lizard.
What?
Which is more like a beast than anyone else here.
Wow, what? That's like your opinion, man.
True.
Does our 50-year-old royal guy look like a beast?
Roll me a d20. It's above a 10, yes. He looks like a gorilla.
But I'm not
kind of picturing him looking like a very, like, well put together warthog.
But I'm not a human, though.
Oh, it's a 4. Never mind.
A humanoid.
But is the golem thing not a humanoid?
It is not as a construct.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so you can target
shoot.
The dog. Any of the dogs.
Let's go with the dogs.
Do you want to target the pit bull, the grandmother, the extended family?
There's not like a Bernese Mountain Dog or anything.
There's
a
Bernese Mountain Dog.
Let's go with the Bernese Mountain Dog.
Okay.
Mastiff.
I'm so sorry for this. it must make a wisdom saving throw. I'll assume it fails because it's friendly with all of you. And if it fails, it is charmed by you until the spell ends or until you or your companions do anything harmful to it. So now you have a friend, a dog. That dog looks at you and goes, I like you specifically. Well charmed, the creature can immediately produce eggs, milk, fruits, nuts, or seeds if it can biologically do so whenever you order it to do
so. Okay, I love how you, like, the clarification.
I like how you cleared that up at the end.
Yeah, the clarification, if it can biologically do so, seeds, huh?
Otherwise,
yeah,
okay. It's
a horrible monster.
It's a moneymaker.
Yeah, and I'll say, just because then you could get dog milk, it's a female dog.
And you could make a whole charcuterie board. just one.
Just get some cheese.
I mean, if we were out of combat, that would be useful. But I guess if I have the ability to do so, I'm just going to ask it to attack Abby.
It looks like it goes, okay. Just like goes with the other groups and is going to help attack. I'll say that one attacks now separately. It's not trying to grab the key. It's just actually trying to attack Abby.
Okay.
So let's, at the end of your turn, I'll roll an attack roll against Abby. It rolled high. It got a 17 plus 5. So it literally bites her and will attempt to drag her down. She has to do a con save. She passes because she has a good con, but because of her outfit flaring up, and she'll take a d6 or 2d6 of bite damage.
Wow.
Better than my trident.
That's
with no bonuses. Just
more than twice as powerful as my bite damage, and I'm a vampire.
Yours is only 1d6?
Mine is 1d4 plus 1.
Oh, yeah. I guess it should be 1d6.
Well, you do have smaller jaws.
That's true.
I'll say 1d6, so that's 6 damage.
And you still have a human's bite force, I believe.
Dainty jaws?
Dainty jaws.
Okay, end of your turn, legendary action goes off. She will attempt to...
And as a vampire, I think you enjoy the biting more than the dog, let's say.
As a vampire, we both enjoy the biting.
I guess she'll cast a spell to try and fight back a little bit here.
I mean, she hardly needs to. We've got, 30 HP between us?
And there's so much shit everywhere around her. So she's like, how do I deal with all these animals? There's a golem beside her that's protecting her from slurps. You've done nothing really except for charm a dog, so I don't think she's concerned. She doesn't know who you are either. Doesn't really know what you're doing. And looks at the only other person who threw stinky shit all over the face. And is going to cast Lord a of spell.
Stink. I want to counter it.
Do you have counterspell?
Yeah.
I would love
to. I actually have counterspells right there.
If I was level 20 and I had, I'm like so excited. I'm looking through here. I'm like, where's counterspell? Where's counterspell? It's like, no, I've got fucking fur shield and fucking
piss wall.
Another furry step. And there's so much fur on here. Everything's got fur in it.
I have so many spells. I can invest in them are attack spells.
Yeah, I could invest in every fucking element.
I do have. I have a gun.
Investment of stone, investment of flame.
Mana blue player comes back.
So how this will work is they point at you and they will cast the spell Dysentery.
You did it first.
Now, you will try to counterspell. So as you counterspell, they do have a reaction they can use in response, which is their own counterspell.
Okay.
So unless someone else had a counterspell, this will carry through.
I have a counterspell.
You do? Okay, great. So we need to roll two... Or do you have a different spell?
Is it a counter spell?
I have a counter sill.
You have counter sill.
Fuck.
Never mind.
I mean, it could still be useful.
What is counter sill? Require a window to peer through?
All right, let's try counter sill.
Okay. Okay, I think the series of events is going to be very funny. And unfortunately, it will still result in, I think, Alpha Anyone having this experience.
Yeah, okay.
So... Dysentery gets cast.
I mean, with all the pills you took, you were going to have dysentery anyway.
Yeah. Counterspell gets cast. Counterspell gets cast in response with Abby's left hand. Then you go, I have to help Countersill. So we need to roll two wild magic surges. No, that's 17. One. So it goes off. So roll me a D100 as this series of events happens. We've got two spell alterations on the stack now.
Right.
48.
As you cast Countersill beside the Countersill, and I will roll a d20 here to see which thing gets targeted because you've created two targets that kind of intercede line of sight. A unicorn controlled by the DM appears in a space within 5 feet of you, then disappears 1 minute later. Oh, it doesn't appear between it. It appears beside you. So you cast Countersill, and then a unicorn appears beside you, and it goes, sup. And there's a bunch of dogs, a unicorn...
A counter spell,
a golem. This thing is this. It's hard to move in this.
It's getting
space.
A little crowded.
It's
in
very
here.
Crowded. And then, counter spell. I'll tell you what counter spell does.
I thought counter spell summoned a unicorn. I'm so confused.
Oh, no, that was the wild magic surge. So much shit's happening in this.
So moment. we have a unicorn in here for at least a minute.
Yeah, that's just hanging out.
Just hanging out.
Counter spell. You conjure a counter spell between a spellcaster and their target. If the spellcaster is making a ranged spell attack, the target counts as having half cover. It is not. It's just a target creature. If the spell forces the target to make a dexterity saving throw, they have advantage on the roll.
So when you say counter, you literally mean like what, a slab of wood or
a slab of wood.
Wood or fucking...
Yes. Like or, in a kitchen.
Oh my
so
God.
A kitchen counter sill.
Or like granite or like something marble or something like that.
Yeah, beautiful granite.
It just appears between the
it
two
It appears
us.
Between the two of you. Pushes the dog out of the way. You hear a yelp.
That's like that mage hand thing, you know, like you put the mage hand and you make it as small as you can to fit it in just inside the main aorta or like artery of your blood pumping heart.
Yeah.
And you just keep it there and you just cause a blood clot and then you make them die.
If this was a ranged attack, the fireball or something could hit the countersill and then it would explode at the countersill instead. Instead, you have to do a constitution saving throw.
Well, good thing is that my constitution is zero, so... Okay, a 16.
You will fail against Abby's spell save DC.
Which is
20.
Oh.
Oh, no, sorry, 18.
Oh.
The Deans have 20, they have 18. Okay, you give someone incredibly violent and bloody diarrhea. So you're just sitting behind a countersill, and all of you hear all that. Just...
Wait. As I'm shitting myself, hold on, I have something to say. I have a statement. I'll be like...
We're all trapped in here with you.
Wait, as in the small room,
on
with
the bright
dogs,
side, it probably doesn't smell any worse.
I'm like...
You didn't even reach peak stems.
I'm like, guys, I wanted to say something. Guys, you're my friends. Guys.
All those magnesium and calcium pills.
Guys. I've been secretly delaying my graduation to stay with you at the school.
This is not the time.
No, it's except the time.
Abby says, yes, get fucked. This is what you truly are. Garbage, human trash. Please roll. You then take 10d6 plus 40 poison damage.
Oh, not only do I fucking diarrhea and dehydrate myself, I also take how much?
10d6 plus 40.
40? Wait, what? 10d6? Wait. 10d6 plus 40?
Yes.
You're dying of dysentery.
What kind of spell is this?
It's dysentery.
Oh my god.
Can you roll?
Some total damage is 120. Because I rolled.
Wait,
no, that's wrong. That would have been amazing.
That's
wrong.
Hold up. 120.
No, I'm wrong. Okay, no.
No, please make it 120.
You want it to be 120.
Well,
because
if it's 120, I'm like dead. Like,
well, you
like,
aren't because of life insurance.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Shitty life insurance.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Wait, 1, 2,
I wish
4,
life
5.
Worked like this. Like actual life. You know, you just buy yourself.
I had too many dice. There we go. Now we're at 5. We're at 10.
Because people would blow it, and then life insurance would be
which
so
is still,
big, expensive because oh yeah, everybody else was fucking just like, oh yeah, I'll fucking take
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's still 80 one damage.
I still go down. I was at 8.
Oh,
so you say this, you reveal your heart, the thing that you've been struggling with for so long as a character, as you're shitting your brains out. And then just Althenolin behind a counter still, by the way, so this is fully blocked, like no vision to what's happening.
You
just falls.
See a pile of, you know, instead of blood, it's just pile of poop, like, it's expanding.
You just fall behind the countersill, collapse.
Oh, my God.
And then you turn into a ghost. So you just, like, raise up as a ghost from your body.
Oh, my. This we are no longer friends.
No!
Can you blomp her and do necrotic damage as a ghost?
Not just because you lied to us.
I mean, now you're zero.
But also because it's the most disgusting in my life.
Amazingly, it says the target dies immediately from sudden extreme blood and water loss if this damage leaves it with 0 hit points. But, already there. This spell has no effect on constructs, undead, or plants, so it doesn't affect the dead body, and then could cast it higher. But that happens.
Plot twist, I'm a construct this whole time.
You turn into a ghost, which means that now as a ghost, you can still make limited actions, but importantly...
Was that in your mission briefing to fucking die as a ghost? Die
No, it was to reveal that I've been secretly like staying here for longer at the most awkward time
really,
possible.
You really timed it to the last possible moment.
Awkward well, time. I feel like others were awkward, but this is pretty awkward.
It's super
awkward.
It's
fucking awkward.
Oh my god.
And then you die and you're a ghost, which is even more awkward because you say that, you die, and then you come back and you have to see everyone again.
Imagine dying that way.
I forgot about that.
Imagine dying that way and then having to.
But you probably
yourself.
Can't smell it anymore.
No, like when you die of embarrassment and then you still have to be there for
yeah,
it.
Exactly. Yeah. And then I you have to explain what just
death
happened.
Can save you.
No, and so you raise up as a ghost. As a ghost, you cannot physically attack anyone, and your spells deal automatically half damage, but you can still cast spells. So you're just far less effective. Abby does that, and then. That's the end of their turn after Graham casting that spell. So then it goes to Slurps McGurps.
Oh,
you can
oh
get around
god.
the construct.
Oh my god! Oh my! I can't. Can you even fight it in these conditions?
The dogs are freaking out.
Should we just call it off? Should we just all just put a just pause the battle for just a. Just until we clean that mess up.
Abby, like, angry is like...
Should we just have, like, a ceasefire just for 15 minutes or something until we can just...
To be honest, I may have gotten a little ahead of myself there. And I am a little shocked.
I was really...
I was so violent.
I was so violent and aggressive. And way more than what was necessary to achieve the result that you wanted.
I think I'm gonna, and my ghost is just gonna fly out and be like screaming, Abby killed me, Abby killed me, Abby killed me.
Abby, you come out, you see Chrissy and you see Clive up going
Clive,
up the stairs.
Abby killed me! God damn it!
I mean, why?
Because she's a crazy psycho, I told you. We found the key, the dog person was a dog person, and you didn't kill me!
You're stealing the keys?
What do you mean stealing the keys? Like the good kind of keys, you know?
No, we're not talking to you. You know, those keys are ours. You can step up and they just like ignore you initially, but you realize.
What do you mean, yours? No. What do you mean?
We made them.
You made them?
Yes.
Why did you make them?
For reasons. You're dead.
Are you that guy too? Bad guy? Are you a bad guy?
They look at you and go, duh.
What the fuck? What the fuck?
Yeah. Who benefits the most from destruction of magic? People with money who can hide their money in offshore accounts.
You're a bad guy, but soon you're going to be a dead guy. And then I like go and then I like fly back.
Fly back. Okay, so Abby's like, okay, nothing is going to stop me from. And then as you say, like, we need to calm down, please roll me a d20.
Yeah, you're waving it around there. You're getting it very close to some dog's mouth.
Yeah, some dogs. And with disadvantage, so roll 2, okay. Take the lower.
Okay, 7.
Wow, okay. Clive and Chrissy are going up the stairs. And as that's happening, suddenly slurps. And hell, Christopher, not the ghost because it can't be picked up, but you can find them eventually at some point. So you're with Terry in the room. You find yourselves in front of the Von Hott's room, which is down a hallway the other way from where this space is. And in front of you, you see Mysterion holding the key, looking down at his feet and going, I mean, you don't probably want to see me, but I heard some really weird things happening in that room and I was kind of worried for you. So I cast time stop and I came in and I just, and he gives the key awkwardly to Slurps.
You're incredible. You know that.
No, I mean,
you are. You absolutely, your timing is a little off. You could have come just a little bit earlier before I was outside my friend shit herself to death.
I was unsure. I was thinking about, I was like walking back and forth in the door, like, what should I say?
Don't worry. She deserved it. It's okay.
Okay.
What matters is that you're safe and that we have the keys.
That's all. Yeah, I know. That's probably all that matters.
And that we can restore things to how they were. And then maybe there's a chance for us. There's a chance for us.
You mean it?
Maybe.
Slurps. Yeah. I've been trying to get my courage up to say this to you for a while, and I've always had to deal with the Hots because my family wants me to be popular and maintain good connections. But I don't know. Maybe this is a good thing. Maybe this will give us like a reason to work together. And look, I don't know much. All I know is that the Von Hots put 2 gems in their room. They locked it up, and I didn't see anything else.
Did you know that they were trying to destroy the magic?
No. I knew that their father was installing all the crystal things. I knew that your brother, looks at Christopher, because you've probably turned off your disguise. Well, he kept working with them, installing them everywhere until like a week ago. Then he just stopped kind of being present. He wasn't in the nerd core for a while. I don't know what he was doing. He seemed happy though. I
believe you.
And Slurps, I'm sorry for everything that I've said. Like you said, maybe I could help, and whatever this is, and I mean, I don't know. I'm in the nerd core technically. I mean, I'm an honorary member, but I could help.
I'd like that.
You'd like that?
I'd like that. Yeah.
Okay.
If we can save this world together, I can do anything.
Then we can like go to Airbnb or something.
Maybe. Then we can share a malt shake or something.
Oh my God. I love malt shakes.
2 straws.
Yeah. Oh, they are. The Von Hots are always like, diet. No, you know, magnesium pills. It's really nice to.
Go. More shit.
No, I know. I've seen it all. I've seen enough of their strategies for a lifetime.
Okay. Well,
just
sure,
a lot of diarrhea.
Okay. Well, here, let's. Let's go. And
maybe a malt shake is too traumatic. Maybe something more like
a salad.
I'd like that.
Okay. He puts a key into the door, and then I assume you put the other 2. There's three keyholes, so you put basically 1 into each. Open the door. Open to the Von Hott's room. You hear
there's one penis-shaped hole that needs it's very specific for skin to open.
Yeah, that's what you need.
That's a bit of a high-cost spell, I think.
Yeah. You open the door, you run inside, you rummage through. You see that Mysterion picks out the two gems. He accidentally attunes to one. He's like, what? Someone's speaking in my head. What? And then we'll deal with that next time, as well as the alterations to spells, as essentially you are in their room. Althenwin, as a ghost, and Terry, you like move through the house looking to see where they went, as Clive and Chrissy run into the door, hit the snare, like freak out going, what the hell? And then you see that Abby's going, I killed a man by making them shit themselves so hard. I am on such a huge high right now. This is the best drug ever. And also, they stole the keys. Where the fuck are they? Also, one second. And cast lightning, chain lightning, just killing every dog. Let's go get those assholes. As they are going to, you know they're going to run to their room pretty soon. You run into the room, seeing them grabbing the gems, and I assume... What do you say to everyone with Terry as you arrive in the room?
Do all dogs go to heaven?